You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Verses that Paul tells us in his chapter before that. 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 15, he tells us, for if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul wrote a great chapter here. There's some great verses in there. If you haven't studied it, I would recommend you study it. I read those just to give you a little bit of a start on it, but I really want to get to Romans 8:28-30. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of the Son, his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, when he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house to speak your words, Lord. Father God, just help me get out of your way and let you use me as your vessel. Father God, touch each and every heart that's here. Father God, let them hear your words, not mine. Father God, we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask and pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Let your will be done. Amen. Did you know that a godly life is a good life? When we belong to God and he is in us, life is good. Not only is life good now, but life is good in the future. Couple of points I want to make about verse 28. First, notice that Paul says all things work together for the good. He doesn't say all things are good. We all know things means both good and bad, pleasant, unpleasant. Everything, and that includes every person, everything, without exception, works together for the good. Paul tells us who that applies to. All things work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. That doesn't say everything's going to be good. It says everything's going to work out for the good. He also tells us all things will work out together for the good. And who it will happen to? Those that love God. I believe what Paul is saying here is that if you are a believer and a follower of God, and you have a good future ahead of you. All the evil, all the suffering, all the heartaches, all the headaches will work together for good. I can't speak for you, but I know I've went through some stuff in my life that there was no way that I thought anybody could turn that around and be good. In a moment, there's no way. So sometimes we just need to have our faith. And sometimes we just need to stand. But everything so far in my life has worked out for the good. Maybe not the way I thought they should have, but they've worked out for the good. In verse 18, which I read earlier, he said the sufferings of this world do not compare with the future glory that awaits us. We all have stuff that we're going through. People are upset at you. Family's upset at you. Work's upset at you. Your neighbor's upset at you. Maybe you just have something else in your life that you just don't understand how it's going to work out. Remind yourself that it's still going to work out for the good. Amen. In Ephesians 6 and 13, wherefore take on you the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all that, to stand.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need to get out of his way. Shut up, pray, fast, and let him do his job.
Amen.
We have to be the clay and let him be the potter. Amen. God has been planning for good in your life since before you ever existed on this earth. Verse 29 tells us, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And them he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified. God knew us way ahead of a time before we ever existed on this earth. He destined us to become more like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his son. Paul also tells us in his verse, to them who are called according to his purpose. Everybody has a purpose. Before you was ever formed in your mom's belly, you had a purpose. If you look up purpose definition, it literally means the reason for something is created or for which something exists. We exist for a purpose. Not long ago, I spoke here, and I told everybody that that purpose is to be disciples and to tell everyone that Jesus came for them and died for them, and God gave up his only begotten Son so that we will have love. To serve the Lord with all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our soul. We must die out to the flesh and let Christ live in us. If you have repented of your sin and asked Jesus in your heart, you have a purpose. If you haven't, you still have a purpose. You just don't know about it yet.
Amen.
Jeremiah 1 and 5 tells us, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto all the nations. That don't mean we're going to go to Canada and prophesy. You might. We got enough people here in the United States that we need to reach. Before we ever existed on earth, God knew us and then destined us to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. So that you may become one of many brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and you could be adopted as a child of God. How incredible is that? A lot of us have stepkids and stepparents. You have to treat those kids and those parents as they're your real father, or real mother, or real daughter, or real son. But none of that will be ever compared to the love that God and Jesus has for us. This passage tells us we've been called to salvation, justified us by the works of Jesus, not of us. Our works won't get us there. And he has also glorified us by the power of the Holy Spirit, We have a good future that God the Father has already guaranteed. Jesus has earned it, and the Holy Spirit delivered it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. No matter what's going on in our lives, we just need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and let him direct us.
Amen.
You remember earlier I told you things didn't always work out the way I thought they should. But looking back, they worked out for the good. Most times better than what I was thinking. We can't see the whole picture. We're not God. God is sitting up here. He's already seen it. He's already spoken it. He's already lived it. So our job is just to come to him as children, be humble to him, and let him mold us to what he wants us to be, not what we think we should be. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is Thanksgiving week. I didn't think about that until I was standing over there. No matter what is going on in our lives, that's the first thing. Praise you in any circumstance? Are you? Am I? Sometimes I forget that. I'm not perfect, not even close. It doesn't say in everything that is good. It says in everything give thanks. When you're going through some stuff and you're in the valley, or when you're not going through stuff and you're on top of a mountain, give thanks. The other night I came in, Wednesday night, give Ralph a handshake, like grabbing a bear. So how's it going, Ralph? He said, blessed, way more than I deserve. I said, you know, when I was a sinner, I would be waiting on the other shoe to drop because it's so good. But now, let it drop. Everything will work out for the good. We also need to rejoice. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say always rejoice. Not just when things are good, not when things are bad, but rejoice continually. Romans 8:28 also says to them that love God. If you go in the Bible, it'll tell you if you love God. You don't have to ask Ralph. You don't have to ask Hayes. You don't have to ask your neighbor. The Bible will tell you if you love God. John 14 and 15 and 16. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14:21 tells us, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loved me. And he that loved me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself in him. I love how John talks. It's very simple. It's hard to preach it for me on John because it's black and white right there. He tells us when John's speaking and he tells what Jesus has said and what Jesus has said, there's hardly no commentary that can go with that. Jesus also said in that he'll send another comforter. Comforter in the Greek is a word that I can't speak because I can't pronounce it. But in the Greek, the definition means one called alongside to help. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is called another comforter. The word also acquired the meaning consoles. How many times has a comforter came alongside you and consoled you and helped you, direct your path? It is important for us to stay close to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. Even though the Holy Spirit is a comforter, God is a comforter. He's the one that shows us the mercies and gives us the grace. Do you believe all things will work out for the good?
Amen.
If we truly believe, then we will keep His commandments, and no possible circumstance, good or bad, would hinder the life of us with Jesus living in us and the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 11. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Believing in Romans 8:28, we will lead to the fact that I do not give in to temptation. I don't give in to the temptation to get angry, to fight, to become envious, to become bitter, to hold a grudge against anyone. I don't avenge myself. I don't steal. I don't do anything false or deceptive. The reason I don't do that is not because I don't want to. The reason I don't do that is because if I do those things, people's going to look at me just like they do look at the whole world. The Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world. Let Jesus be made manifest in our flesh. Believing in God will lead to profound peace and rest in Him, heavenly joy, a faithful mind, a fruitful mind. It leads to wisdom and strength in the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching. I'm over 50. I grew up in church. I can remember him telling he can come back tomorrow. That's true. He could have came back 50 years ago. But there's a reason we're still on this earth. We still have a purpose. If we believe in God, it will result in capable servants in the church. The desire to be in fellowship one with another with like-minded people. This world is calling good evil and evil good. This world is turned upside down sometimes. Jared, if you'll come. We all know the ending of the story. For those who belong to God, the final outcome will always be good. We know the sufferings of this world do not compare with the glory that will be revealed in us in the future. We know the final outcome for the children of God will always be good. Rest in that promise. As you go out this week, and they're going to be around a lot of people, I hope, family, friends, people you haven't seen, no matter what happens, remind yourself of God's goodness shown to you already up to this point. But remember His promise. He's got us a new home in heaven. God has already gave us the victory in this life. Share God's goodness with others. There is not only victory in God for us, there is victory in God for others. Our purpose is to share that. This world is hurting. Jesus brings healing. This world is confused. Jesus brings clarity. This world is dying. Jesus brings life. This world is in darkness, and Jesus is that light. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This world needs to know Jesus. This world needs to know that God offers them love, which nothing can separate them from. If you'll stand, will you tell somebody about Jesus this week? You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You got that one verse right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We will all go through stuff in this life. Some of it we might think is very hard. Some of it is hard in the flesh. But if we let Jesus live in us and be the clay and let him mold us, it all works out for the good. If there is anyone here this morning that hasn't given it all to God, now is the time. If there's anyone here that don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the altar is always open. As Jared was singing the song,
thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless, and have an amazing week.